If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is a Hosehead production.
Jeffrey Dahmer soaked in blood. The Unabomber blowing up. Waco, Texas, and Heaven's Gates. Aliens modified men from apes. Hitler faked his death and then escaped. Bigfoot and the Mothman. Son of Sam talking to dogs again. Witches, ghosts, and goblins. Mysterious noise and hauntings. Dark arts in the skull and bones. Most celebrities are probably cloned. So if you're feeling all alone, crack a beer and get stoned. I welcome you to the podcast Strange Brew. We're here to entertain you. We're here to entertain you.
It's about to get strange.
Welcome back, everybody, to the podcast. Welcome, everybody out there. I am your host. You know me. You should by now. The Reptilian. You can find my music on Spotify, Apple Music, and YouTube Music. It is out there. Go subscribe. I would appreciate it greatly. And we are back with another episode of the strangest podcast out there. And who am I joined by?
Just plain old horror boy again, Aaron from Glass Horrorcast. I'm digging this new... Wait, it's on this side of me, is it?
Yeah.
Background and stuff and these like images. StreamYard must be upping their game.
Primarily podcasts are for listening. But for the people that do really enjoy watching stuff, you know, you're having a beer with the boys. You just want to throw on something for fun. You know, you and the girlfriend are hanging out and you want to do like a YouTube and chill, you know. Let our voices
You want to get your girlfriend horny, so you put two fucking weird middle-aged dudes on screen.
Let me bring you into the podcast. Let's slow everything down. You know, light some candles. You know, touching your leg a little bit. Yeah.
Did you hear that noise? That's the gushing.
Yes, it's the gush. Oh, so I'm just going to join for this
stuff coming out.
Yeah, because this is going to be a fun show. This is kind of like a palate cleanser from some of the stuff that we're going to be doing and diving into when it comes to the conspiracy stuff, some true crime. Because I feel like it's getting that time. The bell is ringing. A ring a ding ding, a ring ring ring. Banana phone. Boop, boop. We're gonna get into some crazy shit on the show, and I do definitely think we got to dive into like a big serial killer again, specifically me and you doing it. Cause there's plenty of stuff we're going to do. And the man, the myth, the, the Bilbo Baggins. We'll be back on the show very soon, remotely. So that's going to be interesting because it's going to be a possibility that we're going to be able to do shows, all three of us.
If there's anyone out there that listens to the show that appreciate the fact that I'm from Ireland, I know some people just like that to them is just like a bonus in itself when somebody has an Irish accent or lives in Ireland or whatever.
Yeah.
If anyone out there loves me enough, I really, really, really want, and maybe you're as fucked up as I am in the head, I really, really want
a
Richard Ramirez t-shirt. As awful as I know that sounds, there are some badass images of him out there, and I want one on a motherfucking t-shirt.
I should have worn mine. I have one. It's a little tight for my liking, but I can always lose weight to fit into it. But it's like, even my wife's like, why do you want to have a serial killer on your shirt? Like, that's like not cool. And I was like, it is cool. Okay.
It is pretty
glorify
cool.
Glorify violence. I'm kidding. For some reason, I did have a banana phone. To bring this up, since we're talking about phone calls from the dead. Do you think Raffy was a pedo?
Do you know what we should have done for this episode? We each should have had some sort of weird phone that we held up.
So oh, it was yeah.
like we were talking to each other. And I really wish I had the burger phone. Everyone who's listened to this has to know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the burger phone, man.
Motherfucking burger phone. That was worldwide.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I want a banana phone now. Just to have in the studio, like behind me and stuff. Look at my new little mushroom. Chaz got me this for Christmas, a little mushroom light. You know how much I love my mushrooms.
Oh, that's because you take mushrooms.
I'm probably going to this weekend, hopefully. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I'm getting back into the groove of it.
How did dry January go?
Not that well.
Moist, like...
So I did pretty well. January. I stopped drinking throughout the week until this week. Literally, like I wasn't drinking through the week. I didn't drink on the weekends. So I did
and
it
then
for...
you really made up for it.
I know. So I did about like 3 weeks... which I feel like is pretty good. And then I was just like, all right, I'm doing well. I know what I have to do to keep cutting back. I'm just going to do that. And like, I went out, me and Brett, testing out the new camera that I got. This is not it yet, but we'll start using it for stuff. But testing out the new camera, because there's going to be a lot of fun stuff we can do with it. And we did it at his place because I wanted better quality for when we're filming, because he has a bar and a cool setup that we can utilize. And then later on, like I got so drunk, like I was okay buzzed, but then I smoked the joint of this stuff, which is not too bad, but because I didn't smoke all day, it just like hit me. And we were talking about like Sean Strickland and the stuff that's going on in Canada and stuff like that for a Patreon episode. And then I was like, I gotta stop. I can't think. I can't process what I'm fucking doing. And that's what the problem is with like, if you don't smoke weed all day and then you drink a bunch and then you smoke weed, it hits you like a ton of bricks, dude.
Anytime I've done that where I've been like pretty drunk and then like smoked,
it's so bad.
Literally like getting hit by a truck.
You're like, I can't compute. Like, that's what it was like. So, and then I woke up the next morning and I was like, I don't really like this anymore. I don't like getting plastered anymore. Like, I like having a couple drinks, getting a buzz on, you know, where you're like kind of in the vibe of like getting the jams and listening to music or whatever, right?
But when you're absolutely just like,
I don't like it anymore.
Yeah,
I'm kind of over it, and I'm surprised, but it's took me a long time. But so this is gonna be fun. We are talking about phone calls from the dead, and for kids that don't know, on the image that we have on the screen, that is called a rotary phone, and you would literally it would take you about 10 minutes to make a phone call because you have to go every like number would take you like 3 seconds to dial.
Think and also that. you cannot text on those phones.
No.
For anyone who's wondered.
So, and my grandma had one of these. I wonder if she still has it because she had it for like far too long. Like there was dial phone. There's tons of phones. There was like cordless phones when I was a kid and she always had the rotary phones, but always she used. And I would like maybe call a friend or something like that when I was there in Niagara Falls and be like, I'm serious. Like it takes you like probably 2 minutes to make a phone call. That's a long time, just like when now you can just like dial it.
So did that work the same then? Because like I remember those being a thing or whatever, but like did that work the same with 911?
Oh yeah. I think there was like a button you could click. Like one single button, which is also
I was like, surely they put some sort of safety feature so you don't feel like I'm dying.
9-1 then that they're so dead. So the familiar telephone looks like the least, you know, maybe the probably a thing you wouldn't really associate with the supernatural. But throughout the years, there's been some reports of ghosts ringing up people. And that's the topic of this, you know, of this collection that we're going to get into, this of strange but true tales of phone calls from the dead.
Do you have any ringing sounds? No.
Ring.
Fine.
Ring.
Ringing.
Ring.
No, it's not doing it for me, Thomas.
Ring. Hello? Hello? This is your uncle. I regret smoking crack. I'm sure you did.
I thought you were going to do like the classic horror movie thing where it's like, hello? Who is this?
Who is
this? You better get out of here.
I was debating on, I didn't have enough time before we got this stuff set up, was to get some, from Scary Movie. It's like, who is this?
Yeah.
And it's like, whatever. It's like, it's me. It's Bobby. It's so funny. So great. So this is some weird tales. And that's why I said it's kind of like a palate cleanser before some of the stuff that we're going to either be diving into or stuff that's already came out. Let's have a little fun with this. Let's look, you know, that's why I'm smoking a joint. Like, let's enjoy ourselves, you know? Pick up a phone while you listen to this.
Actually, don't do that because
the longer you hold your phone up to your ear, the more EMF radiation pumps through your head, and then it's not good for you. It's killing your brain cells.
You look like one of those dudes they dragged out of the Chernobyl nuclear reactor.
Yeah, a guy used an EMF radiation reader next to the charging ports for electric cars. It was like massively spiked. Like 600, I don't know what but something like that. I don't know how the Geiger or the reader goes or whatever you'd call that, but pretty crazy. I've seen a couple of videos of people doing that, and that's why Billy is a car salesman now. Of course, he's like a salesman of some sort. And he posted this picture of him like selling cars, I think at Ford or whatever. And I was like, you better not be selling electric cars. The EMF is dangerous. And he's like, oh, here we go. Because he has to post on Instagram for a while. And I was like, well, man, come on. So in New Jersey, 1969, your favorite time.
Good year.
Yeah, good year. I'm sure good like, it, was that a thing back
69s,
then?
Tom?
What?
Are you a fan of 69s?
It's been a while, but I was when I was younger. I feel like it was more of a juvenile thing.
You're on that married life shit now. Yeah, sex once a month.
Yeah, no. Yeah. But it can be often as you want when you're me. Because I do
it can be as often as once a month.
I do what I want. Trust me, I control everything. If she hear me, she's like, "Shut the fuck up."
Thomas just in the bathroom, like, jerk off.
Is that what every married guy does? So,
well, you don't have to wait to be married.
Yeah, I know. I know you have to do that. Be like, you know, the kid's like, "Oh, well, can I play with the iPad?" You're like, "Get the fuck out of here, man!" Pooping.
I'm in the shower.
I've had a shower for fucking half an hour. Like, you're in there for a long time. You must be squeaky clean. I don't know why. I picture a kid. He should have an accent, I guess. A New Jersey rock music performer named as Carl Uphoff. His name is Carl Uphoff. Up. Uphoff. Sounds like a Uphoff, boy. Chug on.
That's a weird name.
Received a phone call from his grandmother. Nothing strange that you might think, but Carl, his grandmother died 2 days earlier. Fucking Carl. Carl was 18 at the time of the phantom phone call. And there had always been this special bond between him and grandmama, who was deaf. Carl. Oh, sorry.
In my head, I was like, I wonder, can he do a deaf impression?
I do this game. I love this. I did this buddy, Luke, I used to work with when we were at restaurants. He's one of the servers. The guy was a wild man. And he said he met this hot chick out in BC. And she was deaf, but she was super hot. And then me and my buddy Quinn, that was actually on the second episode of this podcast ever. We talked about Hitler faking his death. I'll eventually throw it on the Patreon, but it's like pretty bad. It's like, it's I sound young. I sound dumb. I'm definitely drunk. But we're like, fuck me, Luke. Fuck me. Fuck me, Luke. Oh, like I just doing that to him. And he's like,
would how much of a turnoff would that be for you?
I feel like a moan is important. You know?
Yeah, but not if it sounds like some sort of fucking livestock.
Yeah, if a girl sounds like a squeaky chair, man, when you're like fucking her, like, ee-ah-ee, like I'm going to not really be into that. You know? And I feel like...
Here's a funny one, actually.
I'm sorry for anyone that's deaf. But listen, if they were deaf, they wouldn't be listening to this.
So we can say whatever we want.
So fucking bad.
Yeah, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. On the topic of like that whole thing, I don't know, just came into my head of one of the weirder experiences. I had a one night stand one time.
Yeah.
And the
she
chick
was paraplegic.
Was like, she was looking back at me.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, yeah, man. Yeah, do it like that, man. And
that's,
I was like,
weird.
Okay, I'm cringing so bad.
Have you
now
ever had
I'm
a chick,
like,
say, chick say daddy? Because I've not, thank God. I would be like, not my thing.
Probably, but I tried to like brush it off and be like, haha, what is that?
I think that's like, just weird, man.
Yeah, it's like in maybe
be
your
some
head.
Chick listening and be like, I do that. It's
you
weird.
Know, like when dudes are super horny and you think like, I'm anything, I'll do anything.
Yeah.
But in reality, guys, when that happens, not for me.
No, and then it's always the shame, man. It's like, you know, when you like the joke about, you know, when you fuck a fleshlight or something like that. You're just like, got to clean it up after. And it's just a splooge of mess of this like fucking gelatinous toy that you fucked, like this, you know,
this is my life.
This is my life. And it's now or never.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, she used to phone up Carl's friends and ask, is Carl there? But because she, is Carl there? But because she knew she wouldn't be able to hear the reply, Carl's grandma would then say, tell him to come home at once. So she's calling and she doesn't even know if they've answered. Doesn't even make sense. She doesn't even know if they just, she just assumes. She's just like, tell Carl to come home. Tell Carl to come home. It's just like repeating it over and over. Because like realistically, if she is as deaf as she's claiming to be and that she couldn't hear them, she, you know what I mean?
Here's one for you. You have to pick one, deaf or blind.
Oh, that's fucking tough, man. Because there's deaf people that can hear still. Somewhat.
No, I'm talking about just like fucking nothing.
That's fucking tough, man.
Or just staring into the abyss for the rest of your life. Just black.
I'd have to discover mushrooms, man. Someone give me mushrooms because then you could see some shit. There would be some stuff you'd be seeing. But that would be the craziest thing ever is being blind. I'd rather be deaf, to be honest, as crazy as that is. But like blind is just like a weird forbidden zone. Like you're just like, you'll never know what you, this is how you tell
you no,
what someone
yeah,
looks
have,
like is you just touch their face. And how do you tell if that's attractive or not?
Yeah, like you would have no context as to like where you are or anything.
What you look like? That's the craziest shit to me is someone who's blind. And like
and especially blind from like from birth or whatever,
yeah.
Or like a really young
yeah,
age
yeah,
where
yeah.
It's like you have no reference point to like what anything ever looked like.
No, you can feel things, but it would could look totally different than it feels. But they get really in depth of their senses. And I'll disparage, I'm, like I said, I'm not going to disparage anybody. I think it's sad when that, like, I know they don't want to be viewed that way, but like, I wouldn't really want to know what it's like, you know, to be honest. I don't want to experience that. And I feel bad for people that have to. That's why I called on the, we got a review way back in the day and someone called me an ableist piece of trash. They said the host is an ableist piece of trash. And it's probably because on one episode I said, if you were to reincarnate into a, some sort of severe handicapped body and not to disparage him, I'm saying like in my point of view, it would be like your soul being in a broken vessel. Do you know what I mean? I used to say that, and someone got mad at me. I think for that, because realistically, that's what it is. You're it's not functioning in the way that it should. So when your soul inhabits this container to use when they're in this physical form, right? Like it would feel like you have a broken one, you know?
Yikes.
Is that bad to say?
No, I don't think so.
Right? Does that make sense, though, of why I think
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
You know?
But I don't know. I feel like people just like to...
No, not, if someone gets offended by that, like, I do apologize. It's not meaning to be malicious. I really am not. It's just a thought that I had, a theory. Not even a theory, but it's just a thought I had about the life experience we have here, right? And those people are usually made... They're probably happier than I am. So good for them. You know?
So what did this fucking... His granny say.
So what's Carl's friends were always irritated by the deaf old women's constantly calling. I said she would just do it over and over because sometimes she can't even hear them, right? And used to tell Carl he shouldn't have given his grandmother the phone. Man, why the fuck did you give your grandma a phone? She can't even use it. She can't even hear on it. And he's like, God damn it. One day, Carl's gran, that's what they're calling in their story, grandmama, died. And the teenager was naturally upset. But he had no leanings towards spiritualism and clearly never expected to hear from his old gran ever again. Carl was wrong. One evening in 1969, Carl was with his friends in the basement apartment of Montclair, New Jersey. I wish I could do a Jersey. Go to Jersey Shore.
Jesus.
When my mother, when the mother of his friend came down and said Carl was wanted on the phone. When Carl walked upstairs, he talked to the old woman and realized he was talking to his grandma, who had recently died. Before he could ask her how she could talk to him, you know, when she was dead, the woman hung up. Many more calls followed. But on one occasion, when Carl's grandma was asked how she was able to communicate or what it's like on the other side, the old woman would hang up. In the end, the call stopped. But Carl felt his grandma was watching over him. That'd be frightening, though, man. Frightening.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I know some people listening probably be like, oh, I would take comfort in that.
Yeah. We've watched enough horror movies. The idea when someone picks up the phone and then they hear, like, their husband or whatever. I feel like that would be, like, kind of more reassuring if they were sounding like they weren't in a state of distress. If they were calm... It would be kind of calming. An old lady, like if my grandma called me after she died, man, I would like freak out, man. I would like my brain would break. I'd be like, oh, and I've seen shadow people, man. I would just, that shit would scare me more. And like, I heard my aunt's voice that's been dead on mushrooms. I was thinking about them and that's a different state of mind. So I feel like I'm able to process this differently, but I was tripping balls. And I was like, I was on 7 grams. I was thinking about my grandparents that were dead and my aunt and uncle that both died young because of like alcohol abuse and drugs. And then so I was thinking about them and like thinking about where are they? And I'm like, well, I'm tripping in this like weird kaleidoscope. And then like, and then I heard my aunt go, I'm here. And I was like, well,
yeah, that wouldn't be for me. I feel like in situations like that, I'd be hearing them like screaming like that fucking Aztec death whistle.
Oh, yeah. Scary. Yeah, I know.
That shit.
Yeah, so strange. I would really love to know what she said. Like, you should be home. You should be home, you know, Jersey. To go down to Jersey Shore, hang out with the situation, you know.
Well, you're not going to have a career as an impressionist anyway.
I was actually going to apply to do voice acting.
Well, that would probably work. Just don't offer to do any of
that. I can't do accents. Like, one thing I can't do is accents. Chelsea was like, can you offer up, like, you know, you have references, you need other stuff other than maybe your show. And I was like, I could always reference the Class Horrorcast because I was like, if I want to be like, I'm on a horror podcast, if I was doing voice acting, I wouldn't necessarily want them to go listen to my show if I was trying to get, like, a job because they'd be like, whoa, this guy's, like, intense.
Lunatic.
He believes in some crazy shit.
Shoot up her office.
So this one's weird. Additional chilling phone calls from beyond the grave presumably occurred in Wilmslow, Cheshire in 1997. I don't know where that is. Somewhere in your neck of the woods. And oh, it's in Manchester. So that's in England. So close. It's in the encompassing.
That ain't my neck of the woods.
Yeah. Well, if you said like North America, right? Like that's over here, right? You guys are all connected, man.
That's a bit of a...
I know, they enslaved you. It sucks.
Tough spot now for the Irish people, I think.
I know, and now they're trying to control your food. So I made a joke about that. It's like they're trying to kill the 200,000 Irish cows or whatever. And I'm assuming they're always drunk, like fucking on their own milk. But, <sing. laughs> but like, someone was like, man, they know about... I think it was on Tim Pool's podcast. They're like, they know about the famine. They fucked around with that once. They can't let that happen again.
Yeah, I mean... Yikes.
I know, man. So crazy. So, and so when the young woman known as Mary Meredith, what a name, received a call at her home from her cousin Shirley in Manchester, Mary shuddered when she heard Shirley's voice on what sounded like a bad line. Obviously, it's like static. It reminds me of like white noise, you know? And their husband started to communicate. I think that's a movie, right? Because only minutes before, Mary had received a telephone call from her aunt telling her Shirley's tragic death in a car crash just an hour ago. Again, before the phantom caller could be questioned, she hung up. That's crazy. So like an hour difference and you're hearing the news and then you're getting that phone call. That shit sends shivers down my spine. Months later, still weird.
I don't know what, like, because I'm assuming there's probably, like, two varying opinions on stuff like this, where there's people that would say, like, they would get comfort from some sort of a, like, phantom phone call.
Dude, it is so funny. I can't tell you a story, but something that scared me. So I was a teenager, right? We lived next door to this, like, kind of crazy old lady. She like went, she was the grandmother of like a chick I went to school with like way back in the day, but we lived next to her like later on in life. I sneak out a lot, you know, and go get drunk or whatever. And, she never seemed to like me. Like, I feel like she would stay stuff to the get off property like once or twice, but I never really saw her. Okay. And then one night I'm like, my mom knocks on my door and she's, no, I'm like doing this shit. I'm like drinking in the basement or whatever. And I play it off like I'm not buzzed or anything like that. And then she's like, stop. I get the phone call, right? Mom's like, someone wants to talk to you. I think it's what's her name next door? And I'm like, what? And I'm like kind of in the bag and I'm like, what the hell? And then she's like, I know what you're doing. And I was like, what am I doing? She's like, I can hear you. And I was like, whoa. I was like, what are you talking about? And I don't know if she's seen me like maybe run through her backyard and now she's being delusional about it. Cause she was like, I know what you're doing. Stop doing that. She would think I was like, she told my mom, she thought I was like throwing rocks at her window and stuff, which I never did ever. And it was like this one of the scariest like weird phone calls. Cause she was like, you could tell that she was delusional. Like even the tone of voice. And she's like, I know what you're doing. Stop doing that. You're like, I can hear you throwing rocks in my window. Whatever, stop the whatever she was saying. It's like shivers down my spine, man, when I was like having this conversation.
Yeah, like I don't know how I'd feel about any of that stuff. I personally don't think if I got some sort of a phone call or any like thing like that, I
you know what I should have said? Yeah, keep it up, Lido, don't break your knees.
I don't know. I think I'd freak if I was in a situation.
I was like 16, dude.
Or if it was anything like, you know, if I got a phone call from somebody that I knew and they were dead or whatever. And I think regardless of what they'd say, I'd be like, I'm either like losing my fucking mind.
In 1995, a radio station in Liverpool, England, featured a medium named James Bryan, who came on a phone-in show each week. Mr. James Bryan was a psychic who claimed he could convey messages from the next world and was a very popular guest. In fact, he was so popular, callers would jam the switchboard at the station whenever he was on the air. One woman named Mrs. Wilson of Elsmerport rang the radio station desperately to get in touch with James. Because her grandfather had died a year ago and she wanted to know if he had any messages for her. Unfortunately, Mrs. Wilson couldn't get through to the medium because the lines were jammed. And when she just sat back and listened to the show around 10 o'clock that night, just as the news at 10 news program was starting, Mrs. Wilson's phone rang. Bring, bring. The woman answered the call and a familiar but distant sounding voice said, British. Look, love. I'm all right. It's great over here. now getting in the rook letters.
Oh, you started off well, British. And then you went into some weird like. Southern.
I'm over here. I'm walking here. That's what it makes you go into.
Yikes!
I'm your grandmother. I'm your grandmother and all the other nice people who have passed on, which is weird. I always go Southern. It's always the Southern. I gotta get something new. I have to say British to kind of get my brain into like British Cagney. Yeah, you go going down to the pub with the boys and got a little scary phone call for that's going off.
Oh God, you're going off again. You start off really well and every time it like tapers into something. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah. Not good. So Mrs. Wilson's was naturally astounded, for she recognized the caller was her late grandfather. Granddad, is that you? She muttered, her left leg weak. It's just kind of funny. It's like her leg's weak. Like she's like, you know, I don't know. It's fucking weird how they said that. Yeah, love. Now listen. How can I do a grandpa voice? Yeah, love. Now listen, stop living in the past and reminiscing. Go forward. I'm still looking over you. I've got to go now, love. Give my love to the kids. Bye. It just says bye. Bye. Said the old man's voice, and it faded away until Mrs. Wilson could just hear a purring tone. Bow, bow, bow.
I feel like, that one wouldn't scare me that much.
No.
Like, I don't know. I feel like when I picture, like, a phone call from the dead or something like that, I'm thinking of, like, some fucking, you know, somebody calling you and, like, I don't know, screaming in pain or, like, something just absolutely insane.
Well, these are, like, true stories of people, real people that claimed to have, like, had some sort of interaction, right? I'm sure there's tons of ones that, like, I'm sure there, which would be kind of fun for Patreon. I'm sure there's, like, creepypastas.
Yeah.
That are, like phone calls from the dead. And at some point, now that we have the opportunity, Billy better not throw out his costume, because I'll fucking murder him. But I want to do the Slenderman episode, and he has to wear the costume during the episode, though.
That'd be so good. Just make him wear that and just sit there and say nothing for the entire episode. He just has to sit there.
Just have, like, and then I slowly turn to you, and somehow we make it look like I murdered you, because that's what had, like, literally those chicks that Slenderman were talking about. Should add it like that.
I would like to do that episode.
Yeah. So Mrs. Wilson, wondering if someone was maybe playing a sick joke. So she dialed 1471 on the phone in order to get that back. And here it's star 69. Wink, wink. Did you have that over there? Ours is star 69. Back in the day, if you wanted to figure out if someone was calling you, it was star 69.
Yeah, I feel like we did. I don't know if it's a thing anymore.
Star 67. You guys got to be different.
But that was definitely, that was definitely a thing at one point.
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, the idea of having, like, the caller ID thing was such, like, a big invention at the time? Like, do you even remember in, like, is it Scream 1 or Scream 2? Is it Scream 2, maybe, where, like, figured stuff out now, so she gets the little, like, caller ID.
That's Scream 3, isn't it? When she's like away.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, because she's in at her own property and she figures out how to like screen calls or whatever. You're like, and then she, it's fine because she's like, she's a suicide help.
And it's just like, it's crazy to think, like, you know, 20 something years ago, something like that would have been like, whoa, the technology she's got.
Dude, imagine I didn't know anyone growing up that had a pager. Imagine that dude that had the pager, be like, shit, I gotta go make a phone call. And then he's gotta find the closest phone booth.
Yeah, the idea of a pager actually is a wild.
I know, because it just tells you the number, or gives you. I think it could even give you a fax, like a message, like "go fuck yourself." And you're like, "Who the fuck's naming this shit?" But like, it's funny because I never had anyone like have that. But then you have to like find a phone. We saw kids like recently like playing around with the phone booth. I was like, "You don't even know, man. We used to thought Superman lived in there." Just come out of his fucking goofy ass glasses, be like, all of a sudden he's this built guy, but he looks the exact same. But for some reason, nobody knows how he's different. So she wondered if this was a joke. Called the number like star 69 essentially, but it seems 1471 weird. But the automated voice on the line quoted, "Mrs. Wilson owns this number." In other words, the call is originated from her own phone. The call is inside the house.
That shit now would freak me out. Like, when the stranger calls.
Oh, fuck yeah. When the guy's, like, breathing and shit. That movie freaked me out. Like, the, we want to eventually do it on Class Horrorcast. Some of those early 2000 movies. But even that, you remember that, like, the Tales of Terror or something like that? It had the little, like, the one movie was the little African doll guy. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And didn't they have like that premise of a film? Isn't that not true? The phone call inside the house. I feel like that was part of that Tales or whatever it is, Tales of Terror or whatever.
Is that what it was called? I
know.
That's really going to piss
me off. I can't remember
what
that doll is called. Because I remember watching that when I was a young man. And I was like, me and my buddy were like, nah, I'm like 8 or 9. And I was like, whoa, this thing's like spooky. Chasing after the woman, trying to kill her. Weird African horror doll.
Trilogy of Terror.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure it had a phone call. I might be wrong, but there was definitely a 70s or 80s movie about that, and that shit freaked me out. I think you could hear the guy like breathing out of the bed and stuff. Strange. Or you know that urban legend? I feel like we talked about that in that movie where the dog's like licking your feet. You think like a dog's licking your feet, right? And you're like, oh,
scary.
And then and then you realize the dog has been outside the whole time and it's a man licking your feet.
I don't know where, was it on TikTok or something like this week at some point? And it was one of those like, you know, like where the spooky music comes on and it's like top like creepy things that have happened. You scroll from side to side. And like one of them was something about like a chick being at home on her own. And, like, she lets her dog out in the yard or whatever, and she closes the door, and then she hears the dog, like, barking and whimpering to get back in. And she gets to the door, and for some reason, she, like, feels compelled to be, like, there's something, like, not right. Mm-hmm. So she looks out through the, I don't know if it's, like, maybe a flap or like a peephole or whatever in the door, and she sees a dude standing out there imitating the dog.
Those some of those urban legends, man, still get freaky. So she doesn't know how the phone call came from inside the house or how the grandfather did it. It definitely seems like a lot of grandfathers, you know. Was White Noise any good? I remember liking it as a kid, and I was like debating on rewatching it because that's like literally doing
this.
Yeah,
there's a second one too, isn't there?
Yeah, but I remember like as a kid liking it, but I recently watched The Ring again. Mm.
Didn't do it for you?
Nah. As a kid, sure, but there's just like that fucking cancer-ridden boy. At least he looks like he has cancer. He's got like the fucking dark eyes and shit, like he's like little Pete Davidson, and it's just like so weird. Man, I actually like because we're this episode's not too long. That I watched the recent stand up of Pete Davidson. I liked it, man. I liked the dude. For out of everyone, it sucks he's not on SNL anymore. I didn't even watch it the new seasons. But for like a comedian, I actually think he grew on me, man. The guy's funny. Good shit. Butthole
eyes.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Yeah, he is funny.
Yeah, I like him. I kind of dig him. The Dave Chappelle one was pretty good actually too. I like that he's pushing the boundaries. And for all the fans that don't know, I'm like a huge fan of stand-up comedy. And Billy might try it out east. And I was like, push your level. I want to do improv. That's why you just got to move here, man. Just kidnap your kid. Just kidding.
I know.
To Canada. We'll die in communism together, okay? We'll die in the Klaus Schwab's dream country together, right? But I would love to do that type of stuff. Improv just to hone my skills and stuff like that. I would love. And there was a place near me that was like, pay $5 or whatever you want. And then they'll like teach you some improv skills. And I was like, bro, that'd be so much fun.
You should do it.
What do you do with this banana? Ring, ring, ring. This is too many bits. So in the late 1980s, a Manchester woman in England named Sadie lost her husband in a tragic circumstances. Her husband left her a considerable amount of money in his will. That's probably why she married him. When Sadie and her 7-year-old daughter, Abigail, subsequently moved to a graceful old cottage just outside of Sandbach. Then whatever that is. The landlord asked for a modest sum as a deposit on the cottage. Sadie wondered why the rent was so low on such a desirable, you know, rustic residence. She and Abigail gave the old dusty cobweb place a good spring cleaning and later had decorated. Sadie fell in love with a peaceful rear garden, the peaceful rear garden, which had a sad-looking weeping willow in the middle of it, of a neglected lawn. 3 months after they moved into the Cheshire country house, Abigail excitedly told her mother one December evening that she had seen a kind old woman. It's always old women. In a long black dress standing beneath the willow tree, smiling at her. Abigail said the woman waved and then faded away. Abigail was quiet. Indeed. I know, man. Abigail was quiet and an honest child who was not in the habit of imagining things or had like imagining things happening telling fanciful stories. So Sadie was a little unnerved by her daughter's tale of the ghostly woman. However, there was no further sightings of the phantom, although many strange things did occur at the cottage not long afterwards. One night, Abigail said she felt dizzy. Sadie put her daughter to bed early than normal, and, you know, the girl maybe was just overtired, as she had risen early that day and had helped out in the garden digging weeds. Sadie decided she would have an early night herself, retired to her bedroom with a book, and an hour passed, and there was a knocking at the door of the cottage. Sadie naturally was alarmed and wandered over, and who could be, you know, knocking on the door at 11 o'clock at night, right? She went down the stairs in the hall, put on her slippers, slipped on her sexy little nightgown, and nervously asked, "Who was there? Who's there?" A well-spoken man said he was a doctor and had been called out to examine the girl named Abigail. I'm a doctor. I need to examine your daughter.
I'm a gynecologist.
yeah. I got to make sure she got to get the what's that called? The PV vaccine. I'm not a woman. I don't know that. Like, you know the thing that girls get.
I know PV? The thing you're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't have it. I don't know what it's like when none. I don't know, man. I got a vagina and neither do any transgender. So I don't give a shit. A well-spoken man replied that he was a doctor, right? Needed to come there. And then Sadie unbolted the door and opened it. So I could be like, "I'm a doctor. Can you please open the door?" And they'd be like, "All right." And unlatch all the doors, let me in. And I could be just a mass murderer. A tall, gray-haired man stood in the doorstep carrying a briefcase. He looked at his card, at a card in his hand and said, "You're Sadie." And he apparently knew Sadie's surname. Sadie explained that she had not called him out, but invited the physician in anyways. She took him up to Abigail, see her daughter up in the bedroom, and the doctor gave the child a quick examination. Let me stick one finger in the butt. That's to see.
This, like, that whole thing, though, like, if somebody knocked my... Right, okay, so it's... It's 11:36 p.m. right now.
Yeah.
As we're recording.
Yeah.
If somebody rang my fucking door right now they're like, "I'm here to examine your child."
Yeah.
What? Like, in what reality would you be like, "Sure.
Sure, let's just open the door. That's fine. Just bring him in. Yeah,
come on in. Let me bring you up."
That's that joke with the finger in the butt. That's reference to the Richard Chase episode. Everyone should go check that out because Billy tells a very hilarious story, and I'm surprised he told it.
Oh, that's that guy you're telling me about that you said he's really cool and stuff, wasn't it?
Richard Chase is awesome, man. His ability to think that he was able to drink blood because he thought he didn't have blood, man, what a guy. Crazy to be like, "I've got enough blood in me. I think I need more." Like,
sounds like a pretty cool dude.
Yeah, he will never beat out the ultimate godhead, Richard Ramirez. Can't do it.
My favorite.
Guy's the craziest motherfucker, man. And he had no remorse, man. So sadistic. And that's going to be coming very soon. Now, with the ability to have all three of us on, I've got it done. It's ready. I just want to get like a bunch of recordings and stuff of him and videos.
I need to get my Richard Ramirez t-shirt.
So anyone dress like him, listening, put on like a wig.
Oh, it'd be so
make your teeth look fucked.
If the three of us could dress up as like different versions of him.
I would do the sunglasses one. I just need a black wig.
He's so freaky.
Maybe we're gonna do this. I'll put this thing on my palm, the pentagram. So funny. So yeah, she explained she never, you know, he pointed rash on Abigail's arm, and after shining his pen light torch in her eyes, you've been drinking tonight. He told Sadie it looked as Abigail had symptoms of meningitis. Google what meningitis looks like. This is going to be fun.
Okay, random.
Very
random. Again, like, would there be no red flags here at any point? To be like, some dude just came into my house and I let him into the bedroom.
Chronic inflammation of, it looks kind of wild. Meningitis. Meningitis symptoms.
Isn't meningitis, like, really dangerous?
Yeah, fevers, sleepiness, headaches. Wow. So this doctor almost saved this child's life. So, and then the doctor drove the girl and her shocked mother to the hospital where Abigail was positively diagnosed as suffering from a potential fatal condition because the brain disease was caught in the early stages and the antibiotics and other medicines are unlikely to help her medical or that actually helped her medical condition. So, and then they found out that the doctor never existed. Pretty weird, huh. Pretty weird. I just want to bring up this article to kind of bring it into the close because it's kind of interesting. So there's people that have tested this theory, okay, of like being able, is there possible communication with the dead in any regard? And they did a study through the many experiments carried out with various degrees of success. There's a mainstream moderate scientific literature on the phenomenon is scarce. Experiments are dismissed by some as flawed in their process or failing yield, so a doctor at, Ontario, Canada, made a rare move in a seriously stunning study, the so-called electric voice phenomenon, though the report is titled as a failure. Let's just read into this a little bit. So, They had some success in some of the experiments. He emphasized on two things. The more successful experiment had resulted of the spiritual purpose of so-called spiritual integrity is necessary on the part of the ITC researcher. And the ability to obtain anomalous voices and images independent upon establishing a contact field through regular and persistent effort. So they tried with using EVPs to contact spirits. To see if you get like voice phenomenon to come through, and EVP experiments by others often require radio tuned between stations and frequencies, which is interesting. I have a ghost box that actually does this, so I would love to use it on the show one day. Later, they would play back and listen to the voices, what they heard. So they describe buzzing noises and interference, but there was a most remarkable result came on October 17th, 1997, when it sounded like someone said, "Tell Peter," said the doctor, or the doctor, that was the last story, the researcher, and one of his two assistants independently identified the words, "Tell Peter," described, because that's how I heard it. When I used the voice box, it said, "Thomas," it just sounded like this, like very quick, but you were able to make it out pretty
freaky.
I know, it's wild, dude. And described as a female voice as speaking at a regular speed. So it's pretty interesting. They've heard squawking noises. That's weird. So they're convinced that they did hear spirits, and there's been studies that have been done on this. And I eventually want to use the spirit box on the show because it'd be interesting because I definitely heard it say my name. But then you want to invoke anything. But the idea with the spirit box is it scans radio frequencies extremely fast. And then if you hear words that last longer than a second, because it's like 100 radio frequencies a second or something like that, or 2 seconds. So if you hear something carry on longer than a second or two, it's almost impossible because it's scanning it so fast that it'd be impossible for you to hear a full sentence or a name or a word. So it's pretty interesting. I heard it work. And it's cool because there's like the paranormal puck and all this other stuff. Like Shane from Inquires of Reality, he got one. I was looking at it. It's like a hundred and some bucks. But it's like it will tell you messages. Almost like it's a little puck thing, but it'll give you like – it's like got a digital screen. Supposedly somehow it connects with radio frequencies and electric electric magnetic frequencies and for able things to speak through it. And I would like to see – it would be cool to test it.
It's funny, anytime I mention stuff like that to anybody like around my area or anything, they're always like, nah, count me out. No way.
That's what I would love to do. Brad's got this old property, right? And it's like in the middle of nowhere. I would love to play a Ouija board in there. And especially at the bar would be cool, but it would, his, it's already creepy kind of back there because he lives in like this big wood. Like it's huge, but it's like just made out of pure wood. He built it himself and stuff like that. So it'd be interesting, but he's a Christian, man. They don't want to mess around with that shit. They're like, fuck that.
How interesting would that be for content though?
I know. I'd love to do that. And like, and do it again with Billy. Cause we tried to do the Ouija board out in the graveyard. And then he said he was moving it. And I was like, I don't know. You see, it was like, I was moving. It was cold. Da, 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 and I was like, but he seemed freaked out in the moment, so I don't always trust him. But I did kept saying to him, I was like, you're probably moving that shit, because yeah, I know it's something he would do.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't do that. I would try and keep everything as, like, because I really want to know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, is something going on here?
Me too. And I've seen it work. I've definitely seen, I saw it when I was a kid. I used the Ouija board a lot. I've definitely made contact with some sort of thing that is outside of our reality, in my belief, right? But it's a...
You've surely got some, like, haunted places around there, right?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely places I could check out. I've tried to, like, shop around. There's, like, a hotel not far. There's some cool stuff. So if you ever make your way out into the neck of the woods in my communist country of Canada, then it will be kind of fun, you know, to...
Will they even let me in?
Yeah, you'll be fine. They love immigrants, man. Yeah. Love anybody else.
When they see,
listen.
When they see I'm not like sticking around to like claim off the state or anything, they'll not be like, nah.
They love everyone outside of the country, but not actual Canadians.
Oh, that's the very same as Ireland, and it's really cool. So any of the native people can go fuck themselves. I
know. They don't care. It's crazy. It's all a strategic plan, and from the videos I've done and how I do like to voice my opinion on the internet and try to make people aware of what's going on, it's just funny because there's everyone around the world, like, it's happening here in UK, it's happening here in this place, they're all strategically planned. Seems a little weird.
I've been a big time fan of the UFC for probably 12 maybe 15 years at this point.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite moments ever was
Sean Strickland
listening to the crowd of like 20 something thousand people chant
fuck Trudeau. So get this, you know that song I'm writing, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're gonna put that in?
I already did it.
Oh, nice.
It's for the chorus.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And you know what, I can only imagine what the production trucks for the UFC, the scrambling they were doing to try and stop that live, because they do that from time to time. If they're chanting something political or anything like that, they try and like dull out the crowd.
There's no way. You definitely heard that. Joe Rogan was watching it. It was cool to see his like reaction.
Yeah.
To kind of end this, I don't watch it as often as I'd like, because it is fucking expensive. But I got the pass because it wasn't that much to be able, and then to rent the fight. But man, I really do enjoy watching UFC a lot. Like it's just something, because people are like, ah, like I saw people commenting on like, oh, he's just a Sean Strickland's just a snowflake or something like that. Because on the other side, they think people are weak that think like that. But meanwhile, this guy could beat the living shit out of most people. Do not care about what you think. That's why I think it's funny that people on the left sometimes will be like, ah, he's emotionally damaged. He's not secure. Someone said that. There's another insecure. Because they don't think it what you're doing is justified. Like, I'm not saying that the LGBT is gay people specifically are bad in any way, but there's a section, a part of that group that has made things like insufferable, that you can't say anything, you can't do anything, they're offended at every angle, and that's wrong, because there's people that are against that are in that community, which also sounds like a cult to me, but like it is true. There's people that are totally against that and are like have been gay their entire life since the fucking 70s. You know what I mean?
It's wild. Like a couple of fights back, he wore a t-shirt that had I identify as Sean Strickland, and like he got so much shit at the time.
Why, man? And that's why I'm like, I'm not even a huge fan of Dana White. Cool that he created the sport for what it is, but recently what he said is like, yeah, like what am I, they're on a leash. They're like freedom of speech.
Yeah, I like that.
They're trying to like cut this out, and without people like them and like, cause the fans listen to this now, Tucker Carlson's in Canada right now. You can think whatever you want about him. He has some of the biggest influence on our culture than anybody else. It's crazy, man. The amount of people he reaches.
We were talking about something to do with Dana a while ago, weren't we? Where some company that creates some sort of workout equipment.
Well, he sold out the Bud Light, which I'm not impressed by at all.
But do you not remember that there was something recently, and I feel like we had like a passing conversation, and he went into all the UFC gyms globally and like the UFC Performance Institute and everything, and they scrapped all the equipment and replaced it with a different company's equipment because they'd done some like woke bullshit. Oh,
cool. Good for him.
And he was like, do you know what then? Fuck them. He was like, let's just get rid of all that shit. And like people were like, you won't do that. You won't do that. And then he posted a video on his Instagram and he was like, you dumb motherfuckers. He was like, I don't give a fuck. I don't care.
Something needs to be done and something needs to be pushed against this stuff because it's nonsense. It is. At the end of the day, like live and let be. Like at the end of the day. So if you're trying to coerce and force people. So to end this as we start talking about this, because this show, we go off on tangents, it happens. And the state of the world, I think people actually are interested more about some of my takes on stuff. But there's a place near me called Norwich, Ontario. They ruled in a court or whatever that they can't display pride flags on government buildings, right? Okay. And I've been through there. I got buddies that live there, whatever. And there's like this crazy, because there's some crazies that have came in. There's a crazy woman. I've never seen her, but I've heard about her, but she seems unhinged. She covered her whole house in pride flags, man. Like her entire house is just covered in flags during the pride month. And she kept it up months and months after, right? And then it's just like so bizarre. And then my buddy said that lives there. So there's like a group, Facebook group, where they're against all this stuff or whatever, like against people ruling against this, that not having your ideological flag, right? Crazy. Like they're nonsense. You'll get banned from the group if you even try to question them. And that's the problem with these people, right? And then so recently they had to overturn that ruling and allow it on public buildings, but not the school or whatever, because they're a very like Christian place. There's a lot of religious people there, the Dutch. And because people that voted against it were getting death threats. And I'm like, I was going to do a video where I'm like, people call me an extremist because I'm not a fan of the government and I do not like what the government does to its people. And you call me an extremist. I've never made a death threat to someone that doesn't believe in what I do.
But like, I never understand that. Like, what's the purpose of like covering your whole house in like pride flags and
stuff? To be like, I support this. I'm a brainwashed cult member. You just look like a
fucking idiot though.
Because that's what it is.
Idiot.
I know. It's weird.
And it's exactly though, like, I don't think they realize like that for the majority of the general public now who are starting to become like a little bit more like awoken or to this stuff, like exactly like how you explained her. Like I would look at someone like that and go, oh, she's obviously a raging lunatic.
Unhinged.
Like has some severe mental illness or something. Yeah,
because Tucker Carlson's here in Alberta or whatever, and Danielle Smith is the premier there. And she was someone that was kind of against the agenda, and she constantly brings up that the electric shit's not going to work. We don't have the infrastructure for it or whatever, right? And we need to produce oil. Oil's not going to run out. Trust me about that. It's the Earth's blood. People think it's from dinosaurs. It's not. Give me a fucking break. That's nonsense. So she met and went to Carlson's thing, which I'm like, ah, cool. Like whatever. Like he obviously says what the fuck he wants. And a lot of people showed up for that. People that I actually like, Canadian wise, went to see his thing live. And there's it was huge, tons of people. And the conservatives went on, or the liberals went on some unhinged, and I'm not conservative. I don't believe in either side. I think it's the same boot. But like the liberal side, like the crazy people, when they went off, the one guy's like, he said they're summoning the dogs of the MAGA conservatives. And then he said that they're bringing demons from the United States. That's what he said. And I'm like, you can't say that shit as a politician. Be like, they're bringing demons from the United States to take over. Like, what are you talking about? They're all losing their minds, man, because they're failing. And everyone is starting to see the shit, dude.
That's the part that I'm starting to like have some sort of hope for. Mm. I feel like slowly but surely people are just getting, and it's even like, not to fucking harp back on again, but I suppose it's been a big talking point recently, like with the whole Sean Strickland.
Good for him, like, man. Nobody's standing up for us.
Clip Yeah, like that clip of where that dude is trying to like basically get him, like that journalist or whoever he is, he's obviously trying to goad him into like making comments about something so he can get a headline. Mm-hmm. And just like the way Strickland says, like, you know, people are not buying
what you're selling anymore.
Yeah. It's like whatever shit that you're trying to peddle, nobody wants it anymore. And you're everything that's wrong with the world. Like, you're the scum.
You're a cancer, essentially. And it's so funny because, like, the way he says it, yeah, he's not probably as smart as some people. He might be able to beat the shit out of you, but he's not the most intellectual individual because not a lot of those fighters are. They spent their life training. Like, I love absolutely...
I mean, he got fucking savagely abused as a kid.
Yeah, I know. I love Mike Tyson, right? Love Mike Tyson. As a person, as a fighter, man, guy's a monster. I'll fucking tear your head off and rip your children apart. Some of the shit that he said when he was in... Craziest dude, right? But he's not the smartest dude at the end of the day. Oh, no. He's not the smartest dude at the end of the day, right? But it's just crazy that some of those people, when you were raised like that, man, you're just a monster. It doesn't matter, right? So it's just funny that, like, he was able to... He said, yeah, like, I'm not buying your shit. And this is what it kind of needs to be. And this is... I'm telling you again, I've never, ever been against gay people or even trans people to that extent, right? I had a co-host that was gay until he went too far. Like, that's literally the facts of it. It encompassed... I feel like I lost a friend to this shit. And that's what happened. And people can say what they want and think I'm homophobic, trans. I'm not scared of anything. No, nothing. I'm not. And that's what the whole... It's phobia. It's so dumb. It's just a dumb wording. I just think that people don't want their kids to be over-sexualized and to, you know, it just doesn't make sense, man. It's a lot of people.
That's because I don't think anybody's like... Really, if you look at the facts, I don't think anybody's actually trying to stop anybody from necessarily doing anything that they want to do.
No.
As in, like, you know, if you want to be gay, be gay. If you want to be this, be that, whatever.
Nobody cares.
It's not so much about that. But then obviously that's like the easy get out of jail free card is to be like, well, you're trying to like stop me from like being who I am. It's like, no, nobody said that.
You can wear whatever the hell you want. You can pretend to be whatever you want. I do not care. Just don't try to indoctrinate my kids with it. Don't try to teach them about gender ideologies that were created by fucking Marxist, leftist, cult-seeking weirdos, man. Because that's where it came from. All this stuff comes from, like, Marxism. At the end of the day, Karl Marx is not a good guy. And it's funny that they're teaching the kids now to think that he is. And I've been doing some research on some big stuff. And there's some big stuff coming. So that was Phone Calls of the Dead. And how progressiveness is taking us backwards.
It just have that. It's like the little
tag. Yeah, I know. Because why not? Like, we get into all sorts of stuff. I knew this was going to be a shorter episode. It's kind of a palate cleanser. But we get into some stuff. And there's some stuff that's coming. And me and Aaron haven't really talked too much, especially since that fight. And I, like, as it is what it is. I love watching the women fight. Though, man, just like, those girls go in on each other. No, it was so dope, man.
How would you feel about being with somebody?
Oh, man, no. No.
That was like doing that. I often wonder that, like, you know, sometimes you see some of them girls and like they're like pretty good looking, say, outside of
people like Ronda Rousey.
Punched in the head.
Yeah.
Like, and there's Misha Tate and there's a couple of others that are like Paige Van Zandt and stuff.
Yeah.
And like,
oh yeah,
they're quite good looking, but then when I look at them like punching the head off each other and stuff, I'm like, guys, that's just not for me.
No, because I would be afraid to make one mistake, man. Anything.
And just even like the idea of that, like, I mean, I don't know, I find something like, again, people probably say, oh my God, sexist pig, scumbag, but like, just for me, my personal thing, I don't find it overly attractive. The idea of my, you know, girlfriend or wife.
Yeah.
Punching the head off of people or getting the head punched off of
her. Well, it's funny. There was something recent, right, about what's going on in the world, right? And it's just like people being like, well, why don't men, like a lot of these women are like, why don't men want me? You know, blah, blah, blah. And it's because you've been masculized. Is that a word? You've been turned to like a more masculine female. And then males have been feminized in a lot of ways, right? At the end of the day. And I've always been like a guy's guy kind of dude. Like I've always been open and free and didn't care about anything. But I also was like, always like, I'm a guy. I'm a guy's guy, man. I'm a man. I'm supposed to be more in charge, whatever it might be. And that's why it sounds sexist. I don't really care. At the end of the day, men are men and women are women. The patriarchy should exist. And not the way that people want to think about it, but the idea of that, like, listen to this. This is a good quote, right? Men protect women, right? Women protect children. Families protect society. When men are weak, it's a strong man protects a woman. A strong woman protects children. And a strong family protects society. So without men, and when men become weak, societies collapse. Look at Canada. Canadians are, I call them complacent Canadians, man. They're weak, man. Weak, feminized, weak men, you know?
It's actually quite scary, right?
I know. And that's where history repeats itself, man. Just like Rome. Everything got a little gay, too gay in Rome. They were like dealing little boys, doing weird shit. Eventually, Saturnalia, me and Juan talked about it way back in the day, but eventually we'll dive into stuff like this. Like I want to dive in the Phoenicians and the Canaanites. I have like some episodes coming for people that I'm ready to just go down a fucking rabbit hole, man, and start diving into some of the shit of why we exist, why succeed, all these secret societies. So get prepared, get weaponized, weaponize your words. Just kidding. Words are weapons.
Tom is going to bring men back.
Yes. We're going to do it, man. I want to influence people. That's what I'm trying to do. And people are like, what's your solution? I'm like, do I need to do everything for you? Like, there is solutions for the problems we face.
Be a man, drink beer, punch women.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
End of story.
That's not what I'm saying.
Neglect your kids.
That's what we're being taught. That's what you shouldn't be, right? The idea is you need to be a protector. You need to find a wholesome wife to have some wholesome kids with, and then teach them right and not let the schooling system condition them and turn them into communists where they think that they can have, you know, five lovers and, you know, cause like they're doing like these weird pansexual shit. Be like, I like horses, humans. I like whatever. I'm just into whatever. Just like, okay, sure.
That's the world we live in right now.
Such a strange place. And it's funny that we always bring it to this and it comes down to it. Because at the end of the day, the world's going a little nutty right now. So I kind of wanted to have a little fun with this episode. And then we got into this because like I love to see people push against this stuff. Without that, we have nothing, man. If we just submit and just comply, that's my biggest thing. Everyone wants solutions. Don't comply to it. Don't buy an electric car. Don't bow down to your government. Don't believe what they're telling you about wars and any of this shit. Just stop it. Just stop.
I can't go and buy a Tesla now. Damn.
I've heard they're great, but no. You're essentially cooking your balls in a microwave. Like you're cooking yourself in a microwave. The EMF radiation, people can say, like, they're testing it, they did this, whatever. Elon Musk is great. Yeah, is he? Is he? I'm sure he kissed the Western Wall like every other fucking idiot. So like this idea of like, oh, it's great, but I've heard that like it's, the EMF is terrible radiation for you. It's like having a cell phone in your pocket, same kind of thing, but you're sitting inside of it.
Yeah, that is actually kind of scary.
Dude, that's
if you think about it that way.
I know you're sitting inside. People say cell phones are bad. Imagine because the electric cars, especially Teslas, emit Wi-Fi frequencies. And there's been tests where you can tap into them and like make the windows go up and down, stop the car. If you're a hacker, you could hack into anything with a Wi-Fi signal. There's tests done. I saw someone like using their laptop and they're like, watch, drive down here. And they were opening it. He's like, this is just start. This, I'm just getting into this. He's like, look, I can open and close the window. And then they're filming inside the car as he's driving around this like parking lot. And then the guy's on the computer making the windows go up and down and shit like that, locking and unlocking the car.
Do you imagine how dangerous that could be?
Yes, I know. The government's like you've driven too far. Beep. That's just all this smart car, smart city, all built for fucking retards. I know. It's once, okay?
Yeah.
It's once. At the end of the episode, it's only one time. Give me a break, okay?
It does. Yeah, there's definitely something like that, like nuclear, like family thing.
I know.
It reminds me of there's a Matt Damon movie.
Matt Damon.
Where him and his wife... what's the fucking name of the movie? There's this like thing where you can get yourself like shrunken miniature.
Oh, I watched that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and like all your money is like worth more and all this fucking shit. And then he does it. And when he wakes up and she calls him and she's like, yeah, no, I'm good.
I know, crazy.
But it kind of, that whole situation when he goes miniature and he goes to that like city they've created, it kind of reminds me of that, like everyone's driving like the fucking, like the same car, everyone lives in like the same house and it's like, oh God, that's my idea of hell.
And that's where we're going. But like, you know, we're trying to have a little fun this episode and it is a little fun. I actually really enjoyed doing this episode and I think people will too. And there's a lot of stuff coming, like with some of the guests that I hope to have on. We're going to switch switch the gears. And some of the episodes that I want to do, we're gonna switch into another lane for a bit because I have a lot of ideas of trying to dissect some of the stuff that's going on and especially our history and what we think we know and what we don't know. We might be driving down a dark hill into a Batman tunnel.
I mean, that could be good.
I know, because then it's like, da-da, you start to reveal everything. And I saw that Juan from the 101 podcast. I was on his show recently, and we were talking about some stuff. And I saw that he posted a clip or whatever, and he was talking about apocalypse can also mean the word unveiling, right? So, like, we might think it's the end of the world, but maybe things have to... I've heard that all this stuff is happening because it's unveiling stuff to people slowly, and the people that grasp stuff like we do more than other people, it makes more sense. But a lot of people are starting to be like, nothing makes sense, and then eventually they'll start to wake up. Hopefully, that is a plan.
And if anything does go wrong, I hope I'm long dead before it happens.
But if anyone is still listening, just kidding, I hope you guys are. 5-star rating reviews.
Incoherent rambling.
But like, if you guys, if anyone out there, even if you're hearing this like fucking 40 years down the road, I don't give a shit. If anyone hears this and you have ever had a ghost phone call at all, like ever, I would love to know. Send us an email, strangebrewpodcast@gmail.com. Also strangebrewpodcast on Instagram. We're also on X now. I'm trying Strange Brew Cast. Anyone that hears this, go follow us on Strange Brew Cast on X. Trying to build that up. It's weird. It's just a different platform. I don't really understand how to build it up as much as like other platforms. It's strange. I never really used it. So everyone go on there. We're actually doing some live shows on there. Sometimes we do some big episodes and conspiracy theory stuff. We're putting it on there live where you can watch it. So support everything. We would appreciate it. The Patreon's coming. I got some fun shit for the Patreon, everybody. I'm going to start doing some stuff, a couple things solo. Me and Aaron have ideas for stuff that we're going to do for both of our Patreons and some cool stuff either side. But I have some stuff I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be watching some documentaries that I shouldn't be watching. And it's going to be fun.
I'm actually excited.
Dude, man, I gotta go in deep on some stuff. So everyone, that's how you best support us. Obviously, Class Horrorcast, go subscribe and support both of our shows. It would mean the world to us. It really would.
Please do. Please do.
It'll
continue to be spot.
Listen, just takes that little extra to be extraordinary, you know?
It literally takes what, like 10 seconds?
Yeah. Go 5-star rating reviews. Yeah, do it. All right. I'm dying. All right, everybody, goodbye. Stay strange.